Fellow investigators, and welcome back to our video podcast, Into the Darkness, where my friends and I play the Call of Cthulhu role-playing game. I'm your host, Tom Rayleigh. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, or so the saying goes, but I think it sounds better if we call them false intentions. It's too easy to blind oneself to hypocrisy with the excuse of good intentions. Our campaign is Horror on the Orient Express, and this is episode 51. We've been playing this grand campaign since January 6th, 2016. And as I pointed out earlier to some of the players, we were prepping in 2015 to play this game. So I am your humble game master, and Jeff Wilkins will be giving the recap. We are just inside the borders of the Kingdom of the Serbs, Croats, and Slovenes. The players are ready. Let's begin our journey into the darkness. Jeff?
Thanks, Tom. Which, by the way, if there's any viewers that have stuck with us for that long, thank you very much. It's incredible. All right, it's Tuesday, February 6th, 1923. Our investigators are out in the woods in Vinkovci. When they discover Jasmina's father laying off to the side of the path, it's clear that he's dead, as his head has been partially blown off by a shotgun. We investigate the scene, and it's fairly evident that it looks like he's been murdered somewhere else and then dumped here in the woods. It's been staged to look like a suicide. Rupert heads off to contact the authorities. Jasmina is distraught over the loss of her father. Dr. Keith takes Jasmina back to our rooms and stays with her in an attempt to comfort her. Meanwhile, the rest of us head out to the dig site. We get there, and the gate is padlocked, but the chain link fence seems fairly easy enough to climb over. Upon going over the fence, Dr. Dawkins feels exceptionally winded. We take a quick break, and he seems to recover okay. Once inside the dig site, having gone down a crude set of stairs, we find a stone box in the center of the room. The box is empty, and it's lined with lead. Off to the side of the box is leaning up against the wall at the lid. When we look at the other side of the lid, we see a message written in Latin that says, "Do not remove the serpent's claw, bringer of plague and sorrows." Of note is another green stone with the distorted star shape carved into it. Frank attempts to pry the stone out, but it's strongly fastened to Eden. There seems to be nothing more of note in the tomb, so we head back to the lodge. Back at the lodge, we find Dr. Keith and Jasmina sitting in the room. Just then, they hear something. Something is at their window on the second floor, trying to get in. It opens the lock, and the two large black hands with fur reach in. Dr. Keith does not hesitate, and she fires her gun at the intruder. Just as the creature falls away, they get a look at the face. It's a boar's head with tusks. The body is nowhere to be found. Things calm down, and the night proceeds with no other occurrences. The next morning, Wednesday, there is talk going around the breakfast room. There is a copy of the Sabalis newspaper, and we see the word Kudaviste, which Jasmina tells us means monster. Sure enough, someone else has spotted the same monster that Dr. Keith saw. After breakfast, we head to the crate to look at the artifacts again. We take several of the items for safekeeping, the Judas coin, the three main books, and the green stone with the star carved in it. Dr. Dawkins has another episode with his chest hurting, as if the wind has been knocked out of him. We return to our lodge, and everything is fine with the statue pieces. Nothing has been tampered with. Rupert and Eldridge decide to head off to the local Sabalis newspaper offices. The person who wrote the original article is a woman named Vesna Femek. The receptionist does not like Vesna at all and gives Eldridge an address where she can be found. That brings us up to date.
Excellent. What time of day did we decide it was at this point?
We woke up and we had breakfast, and that's where we read the newspaper article. And then shortly, right after breakfast, I think is when they went to the newspaper.
Okay. So we'll say it's actually only about 11, maybe 10:30. That sounds good. A.M. What would you guys like to do? You're at the You're at the newspaper still. Everybody's muted.
We left Yasmina at the hotel, didn't we?
Yes.
As I interpreted it, it was just Eldridge and Rupert that went to the newspaper.
Yeah. Was it? Yep. Oh, right. Okay.
So I think we're all back at the hotel.
Yeah, we got the information though. But you were going to do in this session, you were going to do their part and then come back to us.
Okay, so what are you guys going to do?
Wasn't ready for that. Well, the newspaper has been our only lead, so I think there's not much we can do.
Well, you're still there. Why don't you talk amongst yourselves for a moment and sort of reassess what's going on and what you think you need to do and what it is you're trying to accomplish.
I think Frank noticed something, and I'm going to mention it here, but I'm not sure if I'm reading too much into it or not, but when we went and visited the doctor, he made a mention that fact that his shotgun was missing, and that's why he thought, what was his name, Dragomir? That's why he thought Dragomir was out hunting in the woods. But then they used the shotgun to stage the suicide, which has me, like,
the doctor had something to do with his murder.
Yeah, either he was directly involved or, I don't know, it just seems really, there's something not right about that.
And of course, he can always say that, hey, I lent my shotgun out to him and, you know, I don't know what happened. So, yeah, I think he had something there.
And yet, at the same point, he's the one that told us to go look in the woods for him. So, like, if he was trying to dump the body, I mean, well, again, he didn't necessarily tell
us to go look for him, but he basically says that, hey, he just usually goes out hunting. Mm-hmm. We came up with that on our own. And maybe he thought that he ditched the body well enough that we wouldn't find it. Or that maybe, you know, we look like, you know, city folk. We're not really countrymen. And he might have thought that we would just probably walk a few feet into the woods and give up.
Yeah, that's true.
Since you mentioned that, how about we try to keep an eye out on him? See, maybe post out outside of his office or something like that to see who comes in and out, see who he's been dealing with.
Yeah, I'm still not convinced what that whole that military complex. You know, didn't we go to that other building where there were like guards and a fence out front?
It was a whole compound. There were numerous buildings in there.
But am I right? Were there guards stationed?
Yes, there were. There was a brick wall all the way around the compound with the barbed wire on the top of it. And then there were buildings inside the compound. Jeff, go ahead and do an idea roll.
Hey, I've got an idea.
The murder of Dragomir Morik was made to look like a suicide. Think about that for a second.
Rather poorly.
Well, it was meant to be seen.
Okay, yeah. Okay. So So maybe the doctor is definitely in on it. And he wanted us to find the body. And or if he told us.
Okay. Or perhaps if maybe he wasn't in on it, but the people who were probably pressured him into keeping quiet or to helping them. And he's afraid for his life. So he didn't tell us what actually happened, but sort of pointed us into that direction so that we can discover the body and further investigate. Again, I think that we shouldn't rush to conclusions, but I think we also should keep an eye out on him and see who he's been talking to, who's been visiting him, who he visits.
Well, we chased him around town for like 3 days, and he's impossible to get a hold of. He's either at the hospital or he only sleeps a couple hours a night.
Right. Maybe, like I said, if we perhaps if we split up, one of us heads to his residence, or the other one heads outside of his outside of the hospital. And we just do a stakeout, basically.
I'll sort of remind you of this, that it was more or less accident that it happened that way, because you found out that what his schedule was is that he gets up, he has breakfast, he goes and works at the hospital half the day, then he goes to his research facility and works there until almost midnight. Then he comes home and goes to sleep, and he just keeps following that routine. You would just happen to go to the wrong place when he wasn't there, you know, the wrong part of the day. So that's his schedule.
I mean, if you have any other ideas, then I'm all ears. I'm imagining that where are we at? Are we in our room, or are we sitting in the lounge?
Wherever you say.
I do want to check on Yasmina and Dr. Keith, unless they're with us right now.
I don't know, Dr. Keith, you're muted.
I think Yasmina is still in the room, but I'm... Oh, no, actually, wasn't Yasmina being looked after by one of the owners of the hotel?
Well, you know, you've been comforting her, but it's been a while now, so...
Okay. Yes, well, let's say she and I are both there, then.
She's not a hysterical female. I mean, obviously, finding out that your beloved father has been murdered is a huge blow, but, you know, she's a grown-up, and she's stoic, and she's dealing with it.
I think you did mention that last episode, Dr. Keith, where it was like you didn't want to be tied to her any longer, so you...
Well, I just didn't really want to think that I was inflicting my company on her. I thought she needed some time on her own, a bit of space, really. So it seemed like the decent thing to just withdraw a little bit and let her deal with her grief in her own way.
Well, let me ask the others for a moment. What are you guys doing now? Are you going to come back to the hotel and get the others?
I guess so. I'm going to go.
I mean, no, if Rupert and me don't feel like it's necessary to go immediately to the address, I think we'd go back to the hotel and let everyone know what we found.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So shortly, the others join you. They see you sitting downstairs in the lounge.
Hello.
Any luck?
We found this, and I hold up the piece of the paper with the address. It seems like our journalist, however, isn't really a journalist. She seems more of a tabloid writer. No one really, the front desk lady did not like her.
I think it's a sub Quirat thing, isn't it?
That could be it.
You never know what's going on in the smaller towns like this, do you?
Oh, so difficult.
What have you guys been doing?
I've just been consoling Yasmina, really checking in on her now and then.
Bad egg, yeah. Bad egg.
Seems to be dealing with it, but it's difficult to tell, isn't it?
Aye.
Well,
never gets
easy. I believe that the next step is going to this address and asking about any information that she may have had on our victim.
Seems like
what do you guys think? Yeah, makes a lot of sense, in my opinion.
Can somebody tell me? Jasmine is not here, right? She's not.
No.
Yeah. She seemed, her and I guess her father too, they seem pretty upset about this article that this Besna person wrote.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't quite get why they were so upset.
Because it's insinuating that her father is anti-Serb, trying to subvert this, keep this information for himself and not let anybody know about it. And it's just they're saying nasty things about him because he's Croat and they're Serbs. They're trying to, you know, and as far as the daughter knows, he's a credible scientist. He is a notable, intelligent, honorable man, and he's treated suddenly as if he were a criminal.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, at this point, you know that the police have pretty much decided that either he committed suicide or he was probably shot by the conspirators that he was with. He's probably tied up to the train bombing or something like that, just shabby. Because he's a Croat.
Shabby police work. Damn shabby.
Oh, yeah. It's prejudice. It's pure prejudice.
Yep. Ooh, I'm glad old Blighty isn't like that.
Do you have any theories? Who has the knife?
Whoever framed him. Whoever or framed the suicide, in my opinion.
You think he was shot and killed in order to get the knife?
Yeah. I mean...
Whoever it was had to be Serbian.
Now, there's something else. I don't know if you guys have forgotten or not. But there were people trying to abduct Jasmina.
Mm-hmm. Same people were for the mission. Which means they've probably got a double net efforts to get hold of her again, maybe.
What can we recall about the people who were trying to abduct her? I mean, if we saw them again, for example, would we recognize them?
I think that the only go ahead and do a spot hidden roll. This is just sort of in memory.
A secret police, wasn't it?
No.
Mind you, secret police wouldn't really slash at me with a knife like that one did.
No, I can't remember them.
There was something odd about them.
I remember one had like a hunter's hat or fishing hat or something strange like that, right?
Yep.
Well, they looked like they were trying to blend in, but...
But they stood out.
There was something odd about them, and you can't quite... remember what it was. Dr. Dawkins, why don't you do a spot hidden roll?
No.
Should I do one? Because I was close proximity to one.
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, no.
No help from the GM.
I got cocky. I made my last spot hidden. I thought I could make another one.
Although we did point out in the last episode that you're not the only people who read the newspaper article. You know, everybody read the newspaper article.
Hmm.
And it was talking about the tomb in which things from Constantinople were kept.
But then they were all red-headed. How would they know she was going to be there? That's the question. I mean,
say that again?
How would they know just from reading the article? They wouldn't know that she was going to be at the station at that time.
That's true, but that's...
And they seem to definitely know who she was.
It was the only way in or out, really, wasn't it? Because motor transport hasn't really evolved that much, except for extremely rich people. So the only way in or out of the city would be via the rail station. So if you're looking for somebody, that would probably be a good place to stand watch, so to speak.
Yeah, it could also be possible that somebody on a train was also following her and perhaps sent word ahead, letting these people know to wait for their at the train station.
Yeah, a telegram or something could have done it.
Well, perhaps we should ask her whether she what form her correspondence took with her father, because wouldn't it be reasonable to assume that if they were watching him and after her, that they were intercepting communication between the two of them so that they knew where she was going to be.
But the person intercepting it could not understand English. That is why they chose English to correspond in. Because he obviously knew the person that would be reading the letter wouldn't be able to understand English.
Well, so someone must have understood it for them to be there. They knew she was going to be there.
Mm.
Unless... I wonder whether he was the sort of man who would give up that kind of information. I think he would have gone to his grave trying to protect his daughter.
They wouldn't have been waiting for us rather than her, and we would have got our wives, of course, you don't think?
No. You were there wide out on the dock, and nobody was paying any attention to you. They were paying attention to her.
Because usually people attack us. We don't seem to be very popular sometimes.
Just
I think I'm changing my aftershave.
Run through the notes. Dr. Keith, I think you brought this up. We never looked into the cement factory either.
This is true. And there was a mention to do with the... just looking through my notes. There was a mention of something...
Shall I book a cab? Well, we've still got some daylight.
It's still morning.
Possibly. I mean, I'm just thinking that there was a mention that the Mem Sahis could only be destroyed, or could possibly be destroyed, by being ground up. And then there's another mention of this cement factory. And cement factory presumably would have machinery for grinding up the limestones.
I thought it had to be ground up in Constantinople in a certain place.
No, it just said it has to be ground up and destroyed. It seems to be distinct, a distinct object from the simulacrum.
Hmm.
Hey, Tom, can you pull up that newspaper article again? Can't seem to locate it.
Hold on just one moment.
So just looking ahead to the rest of the group, are we planning on destroying the knife?
Yes, I think so. If it's anything like the medallion, we need to destroy it. Because it could possibly be...
Or we could use it.
I actually don't have the article.
I think it's something like that that's going to benefit mankind.
I'll read it to you. Hold on just one second. Article. The Crusader's tomb revealed. 3 months ago, construction was halted on the Nicola de Pasic school when workers discovered an underground structure while digging a foundation. Dr. Dragomir Morik, an archaeologist from the University of Zagreb, identified the site as a 12th or 13th century crusader's tomb. Dr. Morik's team began excavations, and since then, no information has been made public. But this reporter has learned, through an exclusive source, that the crusader's tomb is more library than final resting place. The site is filled with documents and treasures looted from Constantinople, by Crusaders returning from the Fourth Crusade. Why would Dr. Morik keep these discoveries secret? My source informs me that a prominent Croatian crusader, Sir Miho of Dubrovnik, is connected with this site. Is Dr. Morik himself a Is Dr. Morik himself a Croat, attempting to hide the fact that Sir Miho created this tomb to hide treasures he looted during the sack of Constantinople? Is Dr. Morik protecting an old family secret passed down through the centuries? The discovery belongs to the people of Zinkovski, and we hope that Dr. Morik from Zagreb will soon give a full account of his findings. So she's implying that he's stealing it all, because he's also implying that Sir Miho stole it all from Constantinople.
He's a Croat, so therefore he can't be trusted.
Right.
This is a Croat.
But I think I should say, most importantly, is that the information in this article is known by other people as well. They obviously read the article. And some of the information that you know that's not in the article might also be known by other people.
Well, there is a chance that the people who were after him and Yasmina were simply after them because they think there are valuable art treasures involved. It could be a simple criminal gang. I mean, we given our previous experiences, we seem to leap to the view that it's definitely going to be some sort of cult or something, but it could be something criminal or political just as easily.
Whoever it is, they're heading for a damn good thrashing when we're getting our hands on.
I mean, if their motive is simply theft, then for goodness sake, why kill the man? What? It's so senseless.
Eldridge, what's your opinion on this reporter giving up her exclusive source?
I think that we need to approach her and we need to ask her why this exclusive source even, why even tell all of this, you know? And also the fact that why the source would even mention that there's this ancient secret passed down through the centuries. Like, I don't understand what that means. Like, why would they put that? I mean, it looks like tabloid garbage, but the group of us know that there's something more going on here. We need to find out who the source is. We need to find out where they are, and we need to pull that information out of her.
It's hard to tell if she was simply reporting what someone else told her or if she's insinuating all of this tabloid type stuff.
I don't think that she made this up on her own, but that's kind of what you're implying.
Yeah.
I think someone came to her, and something that I want to bring up, because we're kind of glossing over it. Not so much glossing over it, but hasn't really been said, is we're dealing with yet again another group. It's not like one person who wants something, it's a whole group of people who want something. So this is becoming, once again, just like on the last op, it's becoming more and more dangerous for us to act.
I think the further we go into this, the more dangerous it's going to be. Our danger has climbed exponentially since London, so that's something that we should at least have expected on this trip.
Yeah.
Even so, we're a good bunch. I know everybody here can be relied on to watch my back.
Yeah, I think that so what we should do is, like,
as if anybody's found doubts, they can always go home.
I think that what we should do going forward is just to be a bit more vigilant and arm ourselves even better than we are now.
Yes, Mr. Dr. Dawkins, I suppose that.
Let's not take anything for granted, or anyone.
That's a good point. So Speaking of which, how's your chest this morning?
How's my chest this morning?
It's sore, like you've got congestion. And Eldridge's arm hurts, and Rupert's leg hurts, and
damn.
I suppose as the GM, I should bring it up every single game, but you do all have corresponding symptoms to the piece of the simulacrum that you touched.
I feel sorry for the one who's going to get the headpiece.
Right, we've got a choice. Let's go and meet this journalist then. And if that comes up at Loose, we can always try the cement factory out.
I think that maybe only one of us should approach. I don't know, but my gut is telling me that a whole group of people swarming are...
Well, if we all go, but if only one approaches. Because like I say, I mean, a group of us could look quite intimidating. But if we all go together, but leave one person to approach.
Well, I think it should be one of the two of you who's already spoken to.
Rather, Eldridge should approach her.
Already broken the ice, haven't you?
Eldridge's got some wonderful skills with the women, I've seen.
I'm good with people.
Maybe Eldridge and...
You certainly are, you certainly are, sir.
The female touch of Dr. Keith.
If anyone's going to be an opening batsman, it's you, sir.
Now, hold on, Mr. Coates. The receptionist said that she was a little loose. So maybe if one of the men, turn on the charms, she may be.
I think it could have been just good old fashioned racial prejudice at play, and that might have been those comments. I don't think.
Well, it could be, but I don't know. I think it either needs to be the most attractive of us or Dr. Keith.
Mr. Rupert is the eligible bachelor, isn't he?
Sorry, are you saying that in the Venn diagram, the Venn diagram of our group is the most attractive of us and Dr. Keith as two different subsets within that Venn diagram that don't actually overlap?
Well, now, we have to have you in case we meet a lesbian.
My goodness.
That's why we've got to have you.
Dr. Keith, I'm not assuming the sexuality. I'm not assuming the sexuality of our journalist. I would never do such a thing. But
I've only got appearance of 65, so
I'm quietly fuming now.
To be fair, Dr. Keith, though, the beard does kind of throw things off.
We're willing to play along to a certain extent.
Closely, you can see it's just look. It's just a light. Peach fuzz that develops in middle age.
Well, it's just
it's not like I have to wax or anything. I mean, look, if I turn my head like that, you can barely see it.
We're prepared to play the game, but sometimes it is distracting.
All right.
It's also possibly the full body tattoo.
What about Dr. Dawkins? What if Dr. Dawkins approached?
He's a smooth operator.
I am not a smooth operator. I barely could.
What's your appearance, then? What's your appearance?
How you doing?
I'm 65 appearance. What's your appearance?
70.
Yeah, you're the most attractive out of all of us.
Pretty bold.
There you go. Smooth operator.
Yeah. I think Dr. Dawkins should talk to them.
But my charm is pretty... It is pretty low. I got blindsided by Yasmina.
You don't need to charm anyone when you look like that, Dr. Dawkins.
You're assuming this. I can give it a try, but I can't. Right. I can't guarantee anything.
I could try charm. I mean, I'm quite a charming person when it comes down to it. But the dangerous thing with me is she might start having a conversation with me and I might start talking.
No, the thing is, Eldridge.
Fatal.
You're better at meeting.
That's true. I am better at reading people.
So maybe it is a charm that we need. It's somebody who has that insight.
Somebody and I...
charismatic.
And I speak German.
Exactly.
I speak German.
Yeah, and you speak Russian language too, and so you can sort of get a little bit of the Serbo-Croatian.
Yeah,
you know,
they're Slavic cousins, but
it's like having like 15 or 20% in their language.
But, okay, yeah, so I can do conversational stuff, but not like in depth. All right, well then I guess it looks like I'm talking to the. Okay, that's fine. I can do that.
Dr. Keith, the only female I can talk to about stuttering.
Is Eldridge going to go himself, or are you guys going to go with him and wait outside?
We're all going to go, but we're not going in mob-handed. We'll wait outside with defense.
We'll wait outside in an unruly...
see if we can start a fight.
Unruly smoking gaggle.
Okay.
I say that if we do...
Hang on, fill that box, drinking cider.
I say that since we are going together, I think that once we get there, we should split apart, find a decent vantage point where we can support you, but also watch your back and look for other dangers.
Yeah. Because like last time, we were followed. So maybe it's a good idea to have you guys kind of making sure that nothing happens.
Oh, you'll be fine, man. We've got your back.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So you guys get a cab and you travel to the location given you on the piece of paper. It turns out it's a little single story cottage with a red roof. There's not much of a garden or anything around it, a few, you know, hedges and that's it. But there's a lot of other buildings around, so it's not like secluded or anything. It's part of the town. There's just a single street in front of it. So what you're going to go up, I don't want to tell you what to do. What are you going to do?
I imagine I'm going to approach by myself.
Okay. So the rest of you are staying outside in the cab or?
Near the cab. I'm having a cigarette near the cab and enjoying the neighborhood.
All right. It's not the best neighborhood, but it's not the worst neighborhood.
There's beauty everywhere.
All right, Eldridge, you walk up to the door, and what do you do?
Is there a bell or do
no.
I knock? Okay, so I'm going to knock.
So you knock. You knock, and there's no answer. Go ahead and do a spot hidden roll.
Okay, I'm going to do a spot hidden roll. 51. I passed.
Okay. You're knocking on the door, and you suddenly look down at the door handle, and you realize that this door has been jimmied open. It's been fiddled with, like somebody tried to break in.
Okay. So I'm going to whistle. I'm going to give that high-pitched whistle and turn to the group. And kind of wave them over.
I say, it looks like there's trouble already. Let's head over. You're okay, I'm trapped.
I'm going to... So when the group approaches, and when Rupert asks me a question, I'm going to put my lip... I'm going to put fingers to my lips. I'm going to point to the knob. And I'm going to guess the latch is broken, so I'm just going to push the door open.
Right. And it sticks a little, but it does just pop open. And you can see once it's open... that the latch itself was just tore through the wood of the door frame.
Do you want me to go first?
So somebody bashed it in. Now, the second the door opens...
Sorry, are we all going in or just Eldritch and Rupert?
Well, at the moment, you're all standing outside.
Yeah.
When you pop open the door, you can see that the front room is in disarray.
Okay.
That stuff has been thrown around and...
Oh dear. I'm going to draw my pistol and approach into the room cautiously.
Okay. How cold is the house? We're kind of giving it a time of when, how long this has been.
It's not particularly cold, but you think that there might be like a central heating.
Damn it. There's no way of telling how long it's been since the break-in. Okay.
No.
What's the matter, Eldridge?
I'm gonna let Ripper head in first, and I'm gonna turn to the group, and I'm just gonna say, if you have a weapon, arm yourself, and I'm gonna step in with my fist clenched.
Okay.
I have my key ready.
Hello? Anyone there? I've got my pistol drawn just in case.
There is no answer.
Right. Is this a single floor apartment, or does there seem to be a staircase?
Well, it's actually a small little house. So you can see there's a door going into a kitchen, and there's a couple of other rooms. There's a bathroom.
Check them all out.
They've all been ransacked. So... And I don't mean everything's been taken. I mean things have been turned over and looked through, and
they're looking for something.
Okay, well, let's say you're in the living room. Go ahead and do a spot hidden.
No.
Okay, then you're going to move into another room. But who else is now inside the living room? Everybody else?
I definitely am.
I'm going to bring up the rear. I'm a bit hesitant. But,
Why don't you guys all do spot hiddens? And
I make gets... that one.
86.
17 pass.
Oh, I have 86
too. Pass.
Frank, what did you get your score?
30, which is just a. Oh yeah, that's a heart.
Yeah. Because Eldridge got 17. Okay, Eldridge, you're looking around the room, and you're all looking around the room. There's nothing more than what you would expect in a living room, except maybe there's a few notepads and things that, you know, she had some notes about articles that she might be writing or working on or whatever. Nothing important. But Eldridge, you look over and you notice something small on the ground over by the couch. And it's as you lean over to look at what it is, you realize that what you're looking at are two human teeth and some blood splatters.
Okay.
Oh my goodness.
I'm going to crouch down. I'm going to remove a pen from my inner coat pocket, and I'm going to push the teeth on the the couch. What are we talking here? Are they broken? Are there roots? Is the blood dry?
Partial roots. Some of them broken. The blood's dry, but they were definitely knocked out.
Okay. I mean, I, as Thomas, know the size difference between male and female teeth. But
is there a difference?
There is. But Eldridge does not know. So I'm going to stand back up, and I'm going to turn to the group, and I'm going to say there was definitely an altercation within this room, and I'm going to continue kind of looking around, trying to spot if there was anything in particular that they were going through, like that they were violently like ripping open file cabinets, or if they ripped open all the drawers to the desk and, you know, ripped. Because I don't imagine they cut into the couch.
No, they didn't do things like cut into the couch, but they definitely lifted up the cushions. They definitely were looking for something.
Can I actually examine those teeth?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll wave you over.
If it's a male or female's based on the size. And...
Oh, go ahead and do a knowledge roll, I guess.
Knowledge? Okay. And no.
So you can't tell.
Yeah. All right.
You know, but you know which teeth they are. They're like, you know, maybe a bicuspid and a molar. Or, I mean, a bicuspid and an incisor.
Well,
so
that must have been painful.
Rupert, you... Where are you going to move? You've got...
I was checking out the other rooms, maybe the bedrooms and stuff.
Okay, you went into the bedroom?
Mm-hmm.
When you go into the bedroom, there is a small fireplace. And on the mantle of the fireplace are photographs. Okay. And you're going to assume that what you're looking at is a picture of Vesna and an older man and woman, probably her mom and dad. They're, you know, they've got their arms around each other and they're taking what looks like a family picture.
Take the photograph and, out of the frame so I can take it with me.
Okay. So you now know what Vesna looks like.
Yeah. When I go I'm going to be sure I'll rejoin my companions. I'll show them the photographs so they all get to see it.
Okay. You don't find anything else in the bedroom of note, but it has also been ransacked.
It all seems to be all clear here.
Who wants to look? We've got dining room, study, bathroom, and there is a dark room, a makeshift dark room where she does her photography stuff.
Well, I'll have a look in the study. Perhaps Mr. Coates, perhaps you'd like to look in the dark room.
Absolutely.
Okay. That might be the best. In the study. Go ahead, Dr. Dawkins.
I'll go along with Frank.
Okay. Dr. Keith, in the study, it's not what you find, it's what you don't find. All of her notes, all of her research material is gone. Okay. It's been taken. Her desk is there and it looks like literally everything was just grabbed and taken.
So it looks like they've just taken everything rather than taking specific things.
Right. Frank, you go into the dark room, and since you're a photographer, it's actually a pretty nice little dark room. However, all the film, all the cameras, and all the negatives are gone. They've been taken.
Okay.
We still have bathroom, and we have dining room, kitchen.
I'll take the bathroom.
All right.
Let's look in the kitchen, Frank. Since you're coming with you. Sure.
When you go in the bathroom, go ahead and do another spot hidden for me.
Oh, dear. No.
Okay. The bathroom looks pretty much like a bathroom. Things have been opened and gone through. But you don't notice anything really unusual.
I kind of hope one of my companions need to urinate in the near future.
Dining room. You guys in the dining room, do a spot hidden.
Who's in the dining room?
We're going. Sorry, my dice roll is being.
I thought Dawkins and Frank went in the dining room.
We were heading in the kitchen.
Oh, it's dining room kitchen. Sorry.
Oh, right. So we've all kind of met up in there then.
Okay. I make it.
Okay. I don't. I failed that.
Well, all the drawers are open. All the cabinets are open. Things have been gone through. But Dr. Dawkins, once again, you notice something missing, not something that's there. When you look down at the floor, you realize that there must have been a carpet. You know, about the size of an oriental carpet that has been rolled, that has been removed, because the ground is definitely in better condition at that one, in that spot, you know.
Do I notice any blood or anything like that?
You don't notice any blood at this point.
Okay.
Let's see. Anything else? I think we've covered all the rooms.
Can I make my way to the front door, and I want to look out and see if anybody's watching the building?
Yes. Now, as you walk towards the front door, you realize that hanging on the back of the door is a jacket on a hook. You didn't notice it before because you walked in. And all right. So there's a jacket on the back door.
She pulled out, so if she were headed out, she probably would have taken her jacket.
Right. And I mean, do you look at the jacket?
Yeah, sure.
All right. There is a small notebook in the pocket of the jacket. It's got a whole bunch of shorthand notes and little references to newspaper articles. Once again, things seem to be all over the place, ideas that she's had and so forth. But for her latest story, she references somebody named Lazar, Lazar, as her source.
And I'll actually give it to Eldridge since he might be able to read the shorthand.
Well, I think we better get out of here, actually, and then read the notes when we're somewhere safe, because if the police catch us here after getting caught with the last body, we're not going to have much of an alibi going for us at all.
Tom, as we're kind of making our way, making my way out, can I look really quick and make like a language own or language other?
Sure. However, I think what you're going to discover is that it's in shorthand, and it really depends on the, you know, shorthand's kind of personal. But when you're looking at it, something like a loose page comes fluttering out and lands on the floor.
Okay, I'm going to snatch it up.
Okay. Go ahead and do a language roll. Actually do it on Russian because you might be able to, if you get a good roll on it.
Okay. I got a 22.
Okay. That sounds pretty good. This is the note.
All right.
It's in Serbo-Croatian, but you get it.
Okay. As we're kind of walking out and I walk out, I say, he knows, I'm going to say, fired us and closed down, summoning daughter, acting weird, tell you more tonight, at Rose Garden, same room, L. Okay. Rose Garden.
So this Lazar person knew that Yasmina was coming.
I think it's clear Lazar is the mole.
Have we heard of anywhere called Rose Garden?
Not offhand.
What about the taxi driver?
He says, yeah, it's a, what would you call it? He says it's a rooming house where couples like to meet, you know, for short intervals and. There's prostitutes there, and it's popular with people who are cheating on their wives and husbands.
What was the name? What was the name of the journalist woman?
Vesna
Femic.
And this was found in the house. So clearly, Al is. Clearly, L is her contact.
That's probably that Lazar person.
So Lazar has something to do, clearly, with the murder, and just from the way that it's phrased.
Mm-hmm.
But do we think that the journalist is too?
Summoning daughter.
I don't know. I'm willing to give her the benefit of the doubt that he's just using her to publish these stories about the
acting tired of fired us and closed down.
Which is some sort of paper, isn't it? Whoever's in charge of the paper, like an editor like yourself.
Well, I think that's referring to the Dragomir closing down the dig site.
Yeah. But the But the important thing here is he says he knows. He knows what?
Well, he's summoned daughter.
His daughter said that he suspected that someone, one of the people on the dig, was passing information to the papers behind his back.
Whoever it was began with L.
Maybe L spilling his secrets. Maybe someone else picked up something along the way.
If we go to the Rose Garden tonight, hopefully that will be from like this morning, and maybe we can find out who our rendezvous was meant to be. Mm-hmm. There can't be many rooms with one person in it in that place, can there?
No, and if we're here, and if one of us says that they're here to meet, I want to say Lizard, if that's not his name.
Lizard.
Yeah, I keep wanting to say like Eddie Lizard, but that's not his name. If someone goes and says that they're to meet him, maybe one of us will get one-on-one time with him. Speak with him.
Well, we don't. I'm not saying that's a good idea, but we don't know how old this note is. Could be a couple days old.
That's true. The blood on the couch is dried.
It's worth the gamble.
Yeah.
And maybe if it was a newspaper rendezvous for an interview, if the person didn't turn up, maybe they might turn up the next evening just in case. Mm-hmm. There might have been no way of direct contacting.
Problem is, though, is that Rose Garden, I mean, if it's a popular place for cheating wives and husbands, it's probably not going to contain personal information. There's going to be probably aliases.
He might give us the next leader if he was the person leaking information. It's one person off the list, isn't it?
Mm.
All right. I think we should go to the Rose Garden, and so I'm going to get in the cab.
All we've got to do now is find one of us that looks like they have a good excuse to be at the Rose Garden. I say, looking at Frank.
I never promised you a Rose Garden.
No, I'm not going to leave that to you. I'll let you figure it out yourself.
Come on!
Well, all right. Somebody do a knowledge roll. I mean, an idea roll.
I'll do it.
Somebody roll a persuade GM.
I got a 35 and my intelligence is a 70.
I'll make it as
well. I got an 06.
Ooh, well, 06. It's not unreasonable to assume that...
I got a 1.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Well, in that case, it's give us very... everything. It's very reasonable. It's very reasonable to assume that Yasmina might know some of the names of the students on the dig.
That's a good point. But... is she in the correct emotional state to be asking her these questions?
Like I say, she's kind of gotten, she's not over it. Obviously her father's just been murdered, but she's not a hysterical woman. She's a strong woman. So.
Well, I like to think that she and I have developed through this, the rudiments of a, of the foundation of some trust.
She trusts you. You guys are strangers in a strange place that she's never been, and you guys have taken her under your wing, and you're friends with her, and she likes you, and it's sad that it's tragedy that's bind you together at this moment, but she's grateful that you're here. So what do you do next?
Is it worth, since we're here, is it worth searching the apartment or the house for any other hidden floorboards? Or like maybe they came in, they tossed the place, and they didn't find what they were looking for?
Well, do you want to try that?
Yeah, I'll give it a shot.
All right, which room?
Well, while he's doing that, is it possible for me to determine how old the blood on the floor was, the one that was by the two teeth?
probably all you can tell that it's probably a couple of days old.
Couple of days. Okay.
I don't know. So
it could be. Of course, it could be older, but
yeah, but it wasn't just done, like within the last.
Well, and you also, you can piece it together with the fact that Miss Odak at the office of Sabalis said that she hadn't been in for a couple of days.
Okay.
So that's probably when it happened.
Well, I could metagame it and say I wouldn't search the bathroom because I know Rupert did, but that's not really fair.
Go ahead and do a spot hidden.
68 out of 65.
I'm gonna give it to you anyway. All that what you find is that at some point recently, there were rather large quantities of blood in the bathtub and on the walls, and that they had been sort of hastily tried to clean up so that you wouldn't notice. But it's kind of, once you know that it's there, it's kind of obvious there's blood splatters.
Okay. We should get out of here quick.
Agreed.
Or should we go right to the authorities? Because if we try to hide it, then we look guilty. I don't know what to do.
Well, the more involved you look, the more involved you are. According to the, they're still looking for terrorists, remember. And if you guys keep showing up.
But officer, we just like investigating. All right, yeah. Let's get in the cab and get.
Agreed.
All right, so you're going to get in the cab. Where are you going then?
Can we ask the cabbie if he knows where the Rose Garden is?
Sure he does, yes. He takes people there all the time. Uh-huh. All right, so you're going to go to the Rose Garden?
Well, unless we go back and we talk to Jesmita and see if she knows who this Lazar person is. If we know more about him before we meet him.
All right. Let's make it easy and say you call her on the phone. Okay. She does recognize the name Lazar Andric. Was one of the students.
Did her father mention him a lot? Was he problematic or
not particularly, but and he didn't really talk about them much, but she does remember his name, you know. So you've got
Sorry,
a name.
What was his surname again? Sorry?
Andric, A-N-D-R-I-C. Actually it's probably pronounced Andrich. Since apparently now I'm getting corrected by the people who write notes, who write comments on our things. Always, if you know something, always correct me, because I'd rather know the correct answer for later. My Italian sucks. My Serbo-Croatian is even worse.
Student of where? Is there a college nearby or something?
University of Zagreb. That's where all of his assistants came from, because that's where
Did they have lodgings locally? Did she know, or would she not?
She doesn't know that. She has no idea. All right, so you're heading towards the Rose Garden. It kind of looks exactly like you, what it would you would expect. It's kind of a sleazy place, maybe 5 stories high. I'm so tempted to do a woman with her hair in curlers and a cigarette. What do you want? I think I will. So she's there. She's, when you come in, she looks at the bunch of you and she's like, that will be $15 an evening. And we should probably put the $5 surcharge on that for cleaning up the room afterwards.
Oh, it's a lot of money. Holy crap.
What establishment is this?
What can I do for you?
And with my most emotional face, so just, I say, hello, we're here looking for someone.
Oh, well, you won't find anybody here.
I then write the name down. And I write, I can't believe I'm doing this.
Opposite I write, on the counter.
Yeah, I was going to write a, I was going
to. Not a bad amount by this sort of exchange, right? The equivalent of £50.
How much?
The equivalent of like what 50 quid would be nowadays, $50 nowadays.
Okay. She looks down at that like, holy shit, I'd sell you my grandmother for that much money.
I don't want your grandmother.
She's like, not many people would like my grandmother. Let's see. Ah, yes, this Mr. Andrik, he rented a room here for, I don't know, a couple of weeks. But he didn't show up a few days ago, so I've re-rented the room to somebody else.
I don't know what kind of how you run your establishment. I should phrase it like that. I don't know how you run your establishment, but I assume that you take down personal information in case they don't pay.
Nobody writes down personal information that's true.
Well, I put down $5. We'll make it even $100 or £100 in our time.
There's going to be a point where she's just going to want your money and she'll make shit up to get your money because she might not know anything.
I say, can we see the books?
The books? There's no books.
Well, then I take the money back off the table.
People who come here don't want people to know who they are. And she pulls out like the guest register, and she says, yes, you see here, we have Buster Keaton, Marilyn Monroe.
What's that? He used an Eddie Lizard.
Eddie Lizard? It's like, no. But Mr. Andrik, yes, I remember him. He was one of our more long-time residents, as opposed to most people who only spend the night.
Some of them,
like that lady over there, who only spends an hour at a time.
I'm going to kind of lean forward, and I'm going to do a persuade, and I say, we need to speak with Eddie Lizard. We need to speak with Andrew. I'm just going to call him Andrew. We need to speak with Andrew. It seems like one of his friends that visited here is missing. And we'd like
She's like, I can appreciate what you're trying to do, but I don't have any idea where he is.
That photograph?
I beg your pardon?
Rupert, do you still have that photograph?
Yeah, he does.
Perhaps show her the photograph and ask her if she remembers seeing this woman come in within the last couple of days.
I should pull it out of my blazer and show her.
She looks at it and she's like, you know, you've given her a lot of money, so let's just assume she says, yes, I think I've seen that woman here. And she was here for him. But also, I haven't seen her in days.
Days, okay.
Thank you for your help.
Anytime. Okay.
Well, we practically bought the room. Should we use it?
You dirty old man. Who are you asking?
Frank, you're a married man.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You dirty old man.
I just
man.
Sleep.
So that. Easy to forget, isn't it?
What happens in Europe stays in Europe.
Your hands are anywhere near me, I'm going to break your thumbs.
So anyways, what do you guys want to do?
I think we need to have a word with her to see compare students on the list of the day.
You know what? Since we're here, we might as well take a room and discuss what we're going to do next. Maybe even read through this book a little bit more carefully.
Up for a cafe.
Spend a bit more time.
Well, there's nothing that you can read in the book. It's in shorthand. Other than the reference to Lazar and the note that fell out, that's about all you can get.
Gotcha. Well, we should head back in, I don't know. We still have the doctor to follow, if you guys want to do that.
Okay.
Much love.
All right. Now, when you leave the Rose Garden, the door is kind of on the side of the building, and there are alleys on either side of the building, and there's an alley behind the building. For some reason, maybe Frank catches a glimpse of something that just seems odd. Down one of the alleys.
What was that? Movement? Something moved?
Well, not really a movement, but a shape, a big shape that just seems kind of out of place. You've sort of gotten, I don't know, into the architectural stylings of how things are arranged in Vinkovsky, and just something that seems that catches your eye for some reason down that alley. Maybe it's a big trash bin or a frickin', I don't know, a small car. No, it's not a car. It's definitely probably a trash bin.
Hey guys, wait a minute. Something down here we might want to look at.
What's that, old boy?
Not sure. I'll start heading down the alley.
I should go with you.
What it is that sort of has caught your eye is the corner of what looks like an oriental carpet that is sticking out of one of the corners of the trash bin.
Oh no.
Yeah. I'll shoot you for odds or evens.
Oh, what are we gonna do? I don't know. No.
All right, I will approach it and peek in, expecting to see the worst.
Okay. Well, when you first open up the lid, what you realize is that there's a lot of garbage in there, and most of it is kind of frozen because it's freezing outside. But there are definitely two carpets that are wrapped around something, and you're pretty sure you're seeing blood stains on them.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
Can I peek in and at least attempt to see if the same color hair matches the color in the photograph? Well, black and white photo, but you know, blonde, brunette.
Yes. So that's what you're going to do?
Yeah.
All right. I need you to do a sanity roll, and then I'll tell you why.
That is a pass, 34.
All right. I need you to do a 1d4.
Ooh, yeah, 4.
Okay. You stumble back in horror into the arms of Rupert and Eldridge, and you're breathing hard, and you're absolutely terrified. And what you saw was in both cases, because you're kind of looking down the tube formed by the thing.
Yeah.
You're looking at the heads of the victims. But both heads have been completely stripped of all of their skin, their face, their head, their hair has been stripped off.
Oh boy.
Oh, our friends are back.
And you are visibly shaking.
Yeah, that is awful.
Offer Frank some of my hip flasks for him to have a good swig. Hope he'll get himself back together again.
Now, I should have kept that a secret for the moment, because what do the rest of you do when you see him react? He's not saying anything.
He's a doctor, and saying the way he reacted means I'm not looking.
Well, Frank's not a doctor. Frank's a photographer.
Oh, God, I'm sorry.
But I will say, don't look. Don't look.
And just because he told me not to look, I will look.
All right. And because he didn't tell you what you're going to see, go ahead and do a sanity roll as well.
Oh, doctor.
I'm going to do a little better for you, doctor, because you're a doctor.
No, I didn't make that.
All right. Well, I'm going to let you do 1d4. I would have made you do a 1d6, but you've seen blood and gore, and you're now expecting to see something horrible.
And that's 2 points.
All right. So you gasp.
My goodness. What is it?
You can tell them.
I don't know what's in there. Stay back, Keith. Yeah, don't look in there.
But now,
and don't do what I just did.
Well, what's in there? What's in the trash can?
There's bodies, plural. I don't understand why or what the second body is.
Skinned bodies.
Yeah.
Not just bodies, but bodies that have been skinned. Mm.
Like a house we went into in the last place.
Which means that they're back. They're here. And that's the group that we probably saw.
They never go away.
Plus, it's not like last time where it was another group and they just happened to be there. It's now, this is 100% them.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no doubt.
Which means that this time we're not going to have another group to kind of be the buffer between us. It's us and then them.
It's a good thing we emptied that crate. Otherwise, they'd be on their way to it. They also know about the dig and everything.
Well, I don't
think. Why
two bodies? Who's the second one?
Well, presumably the second one is what's his name?
Eddie Lizard.
Oh. You think they got to him? He was the parent, though.
Well, I mean, she had arranged to meet him there. And if one of the bodies is hers, it's reasonable to assume that the other one must be his.
What if they're using his face to get into the dig site?
Ooh, I didn't think of that.
There's nothing in the dig site anymore.
Do they not need the complete, surely to do that, they need the complete simulacrum? Do they perhaps have other ways of doing these things?
No, I remember Rupert, when you and I saw that. You were with us too, weren't you, Eldridge? When we saw that guy wearing the other face?
Yeah.
Rupert. Now it suddenly comes back to you that what was strange about the guy who attacked you was when he took the knife and slashed it at you, the color of his skin on one part of his arm was different than on the other part of his arm.
Oh, it's them.
As if they had been stitched together or something. You didn't think of it before, but now it seems obvious.
Yeah, it would be a assailant at the station. His arm.
Which, does that mean that he was on the train?
Well, he was one of those people that was waiting for the young girl, and I just happened to get in the way. He was trying to stab her, and it just missed me.
So why stab her? No, go ahead.
Because they probably wanted to get her and her father so they could get hold of the parts. If they could have skinned him before we got here, and they could have took his identity and been at the dig and pretended to be him if we turned up.
Yeah. Or her, too. Pretend to be her to get access to the warehouse.
Or it could be her now. Well,
now that you mention it, think about it this way. Her father's head, well, most of his face was missing. Perhaps they did that to cover up the fact that they skinned his face off.
Maybe.
But then wouldn't someone, you know, have seen him? Like,
well, I mean, we haven't seen the persons who were responsible for it yet. So
keep talking, but I'm going to start ushering, like put my arms out and like, let's get out of this alleyway.
Yeah, let's get out.
All
right. Yes, I don't think this is the right kind of environment in which to be found near mutilated corpses.
Rupert, did you, when he tried to stab you, did you recognize him as the same gentleman from that house that we broke into?
No.
Facial-wise, no. But skin type, yes.
This, the people who attacked were definitely Serbo-Croatian.
Yeah.
The guys when you were in, was it Venice?
Most of them got taken out in the cavern fight, didn't they?
But they look Turkish. They look Turkish.
Turkish.
Yeah.
I was going to say, if he got ahead of us somehow, that's kind of weird. But yeah, this sounds like the skinless cult.
Well, we still don't know where to reach them.
Well, this was a good day. I say that we head back to the hotel and we sleep and we forget about all this.
I need a drink.
Yes.
Yes, I'd quite honestly just rather not be outside if there are people wandering around doing things like this.
This is brutal.
If what you say about these faces is true, though, then we can't trust anyone.
No. Well, a young lady at the train station, if you get a chance, I'll see if you can see if she's got matching skin, if you know what I mean.
And what? Oh, no.
Should we, just on I mean, I'm not for a moment saying any of us are imposters.
No.
But if in the future we were to be infiltrated by an imposter, should we have some sort of code word that we can use to identify each other as the real acids?
It's not a bad idea.
I think we all know each other quite well to ask, because we've all been quite candid with each other over the journey. So I think if it was an imposter trying to be me, you'd soon realize he wasn't, because the stories would be different.
I don't know. I think that's a good idea,
you
though.
You get the appearance, but you don't get the knowledge of the person, do you?
It's a good idea, but we should discuss it in private.
Yes.
That there's no ears.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So what are you going to do? Go back to the hotel?
Yes. Yes. I think we need to regroup and make sure nothing's been broken into and everybody's still alive and the hotel's still there.
And Rupert, you have a good point. We should, let's not alarm her, but we should definitely look over Yasmina to make sure that she is.
If we could do it without her knowing, I mean, obviously you don't want to insult the poor thing.
Yeah,
but she turned up very conveniently. It could have been set up, the whole thing, just to get her into our confidence. I'd like to think not, but we can't underestimate these Skinners. They seem to be a devious bunch of bastards at the best of time.
Yeah, and remember, she's alone with all of our stuff.
Oh, don't say that.
I'm the paranoid one of the group. So,
let's not get too paranoid. They did try to grab her too. So
we think it appears, but it could have been Sam.
Well, let's let me just throw this out there. I don't mean to give you ideas, but if Yasmina was compromised, she has already had ample opportunity to steal everything that you've got, and she hasn't done anything like that. There doesn't seem to be any falsehood in her personality at all. And like you said, Rupert, a second ago, they might be able to steal your physical form, but not your personality.
Yeah. Imagine we didn't know it beforehand, did we?
I don't know if it's come up in this game yet, but should our secret code word be Meatball Sub?
Yes.
Maestro.
Our secret... Maestros is the key word.
That's the next t-shirt. I forgot all about that.
Maestros is the key word, and Meatball Sub is the response. So if you don't say Meatball Sub when I ask you Maestros, I'm killing you.
All right, so you go back to the hotel. Now, unfortunately, the result of all of this is you've become a little paranoid. And every stranger on the street that peeks at you or looks at you, you suspect they might be watching you. Yeah, you can't just start shooting everybody. The sanity still survives in that. But I think with that revelation, you all should do a sanity roll.
No.
Just a one or a
nope.
Two.
I failed it.
All right, so take two sanity. If you pass, you just take one sanity. All right, so you're back at the hotel, and it's going on evening now.
I don't know if you want to count that as one whole. That would have brought me to 5 points.
You're shaken.
Okay. Yep. I'll just play it out that way.
You're going to have a difficult time sleeping.
Yep. This is awful. These guys are brutal monsters. Especially, I'm thinking now too, if they're willing to stab somebody in broad daylight on a train platform, these guys are monsters.
Well, if you remember correctly, I stabbed that one guy. And he just came back. If you remember.
Which guy? At the train station?
No, at the back in, oh my God.
Oh, back at the house.
The last stop.
Yeah.
Yeah. I shoved an ice pick in his goddamn shoulder, and he came back.
That's right.
So these people probably don't care about doing anything illegal because they can just get out, apparently.
That was in Trieste, yeah.
Trieste, yeah.
The question is, do we Do we have anything that shows that they've gotten the knife yet? I don't think we have.
No. Because they wouldn't have tried to attack his daughter, Yasmina, if they had the knife.
Tom, are we able
to
say that again?
I said they wouldn't attack if they had the knife. They wouldn't attack Yasmina, right?
Yeah.
Reasonable to assume.
We don't know. So far, we haven't seen any of the skinless ones as being females.
No. But one of them clearly is, because they have to have a female figure to match with a female face.
Well, that's what I mean. Have we seen any? I'm trying to think back to, was it Milan when
you have seen no cultists that were female.
That were female, okay.
Unless, of course, you didn't know they were cultists. No, yeah. To your best of your knowledge, you don't.
Yeah. I mean, it's possible. I'm just questioning whether or not we've seen any evidence so far. The only thing I can think of is the guy who stole her voice. The opera singer's voice. So he spoke in a woman's voice, but...
She obviously wasn't part of the cult. Yeah. She was a victim of...
Right, she was the victim. Is there any way could we tell if Dragomir was killed before or after Vesna?
It seems from the timetable that you've sort of thought about, probably before.
So maybe they came after him first, looking for the dagger, and he either wouldn't tell them, or... So then when they found out about the reporter and the student giving her information, they went after them second.
We have the dagger now, don't we?
No.
No?
I don't think so.
No.
We just took the books, did we?
Took the books.
You didn't find the dagger.
I thought it was the dagger amongst.
Nope. You found the empty box in the tomb.
So they probably did get there first then. Or he took it out of the box and hid it somewhere else.
Yeah. So it seems like what Dr. Dawkins was saying is the doctor. Unless he's part of the skinless cult.
Yeah, he may be.
Once again, from his reputation, that just doesn't seem...
Doesn't fit. If he's helping people.
Yeah, he's devoted practically all of his time and effort into helping people.
Unless he's being forced. Again, you know, he might have told us that information so that we can try to figure things out where he can't.
You also have the cement factory. You forgot that too.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yes. Yes, I think. I still think we should look into that. It's just that mention of grinding something up that just seems to.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's afternoon now. Lunchtime?
It's, the sun's starting to go down. Let's make a couple of assumptions that because you guys have mentioned it, you've asked, like, the concierge, or you've asked if they know about this place or whatever. It's the Bolotovich Cement Factory. And it's just about a mile west of Vinkovsky.
Well, if it's so, you're saying it's evening then, so they wouldn't be open now. Have to do that tomorrow.
I'd rather not go poking about there in the dark.
Yeah, most likely. Once again, the concierge sort of mentions that, yeah, there's nothing out there. So at night, it's pretty much all deserted out there.
Is it, it's not operational then?
No, it's operational during the daytime.
It's operational.
But at night, you know, it's not like there's houses or anything out there. So it's pretty much completely abandoned. I mean, there's nobody there. I don't mean abandoned. I mean deserted. Nobody's going to steal anything. What are you going to steal? A bunch of cement? That actually means that there's nobody there at night. So
yeah, that's what I feel like you're hinting at us.
I'm sorry. I just like spookiness.
Well, Dr. Keith, should we go tonight, or do you think we should just approach them and be upfront about it?
I think we'd be better served by just questioning someone. I really don't like the idea of going out there when not after that thing that was poking around here.
Sounds a bit funky. We can't really go in the day because there's going to be workers about.
Well,
I say we go at night.
Night would be better. None of us little lads would quarry workers.
Then again, what if we got there in the night? What are we looking for, though?
Exactly. We want to know whether been there. We're not. We stand more chance if we go there and question someone.
And what are we trying to determine? Just whether or not someone has destroyed the knife.
Well, I think.
Well, the skin has got a hold of the knife. The last thing they're going to do is destroy it.
If we could just try and make sense of Morik's final movements, if we knew what he was doing when they came after him, it might give us some insight into what happened.
Yep, makes sense. He did write a name down. Goran.
Go on.
Goran is Dr. Bellinzana's first name.
There's another Goran.
Oh.
I'm going to go to the majority. If people want to go tonight, we've got a reason to go. I don't mind going, but there's no point going unless we've got a reason for going.
So, got the Dr. Mark's notebook.
Mm-hmm.
It says, we'll talk to Goran later and inspect Bolotovic cement factory.
Have you approached Jessica for a list of the students on the dig?
She doesn't have a list, but
she
recognizes that Alex, Lazar, and Andric.
If there's any name she can remember, we could write down. Understandably, if she can't, but she can remember any, if we don't have to make a note of them.
Okay.
What do you say, chaps? And ladies?
Well, I mean, I would prefer to go during the daytime, but if you think there's a chance that we might find something of interest now, then...
I don't know. I don't even know where we're going there, to be honest, Keith.
Well, it's just that it was mentioned, and
I mean, we're going to get more access at night because there probably only be a night watchman there. But if we're going there to meet people, we need to go in the day.
I think we'd be better off going during the day and questioning people.
Yeah, but correct. If we stir up suspicion during the day, somebody might be on the lookout for us. And, I'll go with the group. I think that we probably find more truth when people aren't around. But then again, I'll go with the group.
Well, if we're going to search the place when there's no one around, then it would be better done. I would agree, yes, it would be better done before questioning anyone.
It could be an ideal place to get rid of bodies, isn't it? Some infrastructure. Can they have a little line? A quick line for something.
Then again, from what we've seen so far, they don't really care. They just wrap them up and throw them in the dumpster.
No. True. Mm.
Run business.
So, what are you going to do? We're going to go a few minutes over since we started a few minutes late. If that's okay.
Let's call it an evening in the game and go to the cement factory in daylight, like Keith suggests, is the only idea I have. I don't know how everybody else feels.
Yeah. Let me offer this.
What would you ask the cement people?
Well, I think we'd ask them whether they're aware of Dr. Morrick, whether he's visited the place. Specifically, whether he inquired about any grinding equipment. But mainly, had he been there? And if so, when was he there? I just thought we might be able to establish his last moves, whether he actually visited that place. Whether it was some attempt to destroy the dagger that led to them making a move. There must have been something that happened that caused them to make a move on him. They didn't just come and kill him at that moment for no reason. There must have been a cause. Something must have happened to necessitate killing him at that moment. If we could find out what that was, we'd have a much greater insight into what's going on here.
Yeah, I agree.
Yep, that makes sense. All right. Well, why don't we get some rest and head there tomorrow?
Agreed. Good night, everyone. See you in the morning.
Okay.
It'll be 8th tomorrow.
All right, so you guys are all going to retire to your bedrooms?
Yes.
What the hell? Somebody's calling me?
What is that strange ringing?
There's someone. I think it's someone with a xylophone or a glockenspiel down in the courtyard.
I'm sorry.
Must be the owner of the hotel.
Glockenspiel session musician practicing.
Seems to be a one-eyed astronomer.
When somebody calls you on the phone and says, "Hi, you stayed at one of our resorts in the past," or my other favorite one is, "We're from customer services." It's like, you know, it's a fake phone call at that point. Oh, you're so specific. It's like having a tarot reading. Come on. Sorry for the interruption.
No problem.
Make a note that I got interrupted, and I got to cut that part out. I'm sorry. So, what did you guys decide? You guys are going to bed.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Let's say.
Up early for kippers.
Are you guys all in separate rooms?
I'm sharing a room with Yasmina.
That's right.
I think actually the others are sharing, aren't they? Are you sharing? I think so. Wasn't it just me that got the room to myself originally?
I think so, because they were like kind of bunk beds or whatever.
Right, because it's mostly hunters.
Yeah.
But I'm now sharing with Yasmina.
Interruption.
I can't sleep at all.
All right. Good. All right, Frank. You're lying there on your bed trying to sleep. The others are around you. Maybe Rupert is snoring. When you hear a kind of a heavy thump on the balcony outside your window.
Yeah, I have not forgotten about the boar creature.
And there's kind of creaking noises.
I will reach under my cot and take my pistol out.
Okay.
Any lights?
Only if you light them. Probably have lanterns.
Maybe a candle on the nightstand, maybe?
Like a hurricane light, maybe.
Okay. I won't light it yet. So I'll just sit there and listen to see if I can figure out what's happening on the balcony.
Okay. Very similar pattern. Something is trying to push open the door.
Do I see any shadows or anything?
Because your room is dark and the curtains are drawn, you do sort of see a shadow, something big.
And we're still on the second floor?
Yes.
Yep. Who's in the room with us? Is it just our group or are there other strangers?
No, we'll say there's no strangers. They don't involve other people.
I'll quietly whistle.
Why don't the rest of you do wake up rolls? Listen rolls. I don't know.
Critical success in waking up. I specialize in waking up. Luck roll?
Do a luck roll. That sounds good. And unless you like fail it miserably.
Are we all doing luck rolls, or should we be doing listen rolls?
Well, Elizabeth, you're not in the room, so.
Oh, succeed. Yeah, I was going to say, because I'm across the hall.
Okay. Those of you who succeed, you wake up.
I'm going to point to the window.
Okay, you hear a heavy creaking as the door is trying to get pushed in.
I'm going to gently slip out of bed and try and make my way to where my revolver is.
Okay. I think you guys have all started sleeping with your revolvers right next to you. So
yeah, nearby on a bedside cabinet or something.
Right. All right, so you guys have your guns. You too, Eldridge?
I don't have a gun.
Oh, great.
I just have my fists.
Fists all right. And wit.
Fists and fighting wit. You should be all armed and ready.
I am armed.
And with that, there is a pop of the door flinging open. And it pushes the curtains to the side, and a big, gigantic thing comes into the room. Now, it's just a shadow, but that shadow is definitely a fucking boar's head on the top, and a big muscular body underneath it with big, gigantic, hairy arms. And this you can see just because it's a black shadow that you, of what you think that it is.
I'm going to shoot the bastard.
Yep. The sign or the hints of the boar's head.
Well, it's not attacking us, though.
If you come in peace, I can apologize later. But I'm going to shoot the bastard.
All right, go ahead and make your shot roll.
Do you want to go first, Rupert?
What's your dexterity? I'm 40.
Dex 60.
You go first then.
Dex 50. Oh yeah.
Back. Yep, there we go. I was ready for that thing to come in, so.
I think you all were at this point, so.
17.
I hit.
You hit?
I hit, but Frank fires before me.
Okay. Frank, did you hit?
I hit, yep.
All right, go ahead and roll for damage.
2 points.
Okay. Of course, there's two shots. Blammo, blammo. Dr. Elizabeth and Jasmina across the hall immediately wake up, as do some of the other people in the place.
8 points of damage if it has any effect.
In the flash of the gun, you definitely see a gigantic creature with, it's about man size, but it's got the head of a boar, and you'd almost guess that the middle was like some gigantic hairy creature, and that its lower half almost seems like it's a goat, or it's got like, it's like the devil with hoofed feet and
almost like Baphomet.
It bellows as the bullets hit it, and it recoils a little bit, and then it starts to move forward and tries to attack. However, it's not very fast moving. Also, it's kind of wearing clothes. It's like it's got on some shorts of some sort, and it's got a cape. They're torn, but it's definitely wearing clothes. And who is closest to it, do you think? Let's say
me.
All right.
Dawkins, did you shoot too?
I was going to.
Okay. Well, you can shoot when it starts to move forward to try to get to Rupert.
All right, let me try.
And yes.
Nice.
He's so smooth when he does that.
Are you guys going to turn the lights on, or are you going to just be shooting in the dark now at this point? You might hit each other.
I guess somebody else can do that, but I am rolling a 1d10, and I got a 9.
All right.
It's a damage.
Before it can get to Rupert, it recoils from that hit as well. Somebody getting a light? I got to do
a turn. I can get a light. I can grab a light. I don't have a gun, and I don't want to shoot it, and I don't think we should attack it. But whatever. I'm going to run and get a light.
Okay. Once the light comes up, this happens very quickly. The creature is now turning, and it's going to leap out the window. However, you get a good look at it. It seems, and it's been seriously injured. It's bleeding all over the place. It's got the head of a boar. It's got the body of what actually looks like a gorilla, like a black lowland gorilla. And its bottom, there's definitely parts of it that look almost human, but then its legs are like big goat's legs or steer legs or something like that. And
sanity check.
We'll do that in a second. These things all seem to be... I'll get to that in a second. All right. The thing turns, and it's very badly wounded, but it actually manages to leap out the window.
Can I get another shot off at it before it leaves? Because I can get three off a round, technically.
We'll say that you run forward as it's leaping, and you can go ahead and shoot again.
I mean, it has to be a really good dice roll for me to get a hit, I should imagine, but I'll give it a try. No, I miss.
Okay, you miss. And the thing leaps. And you can actually hear it hit the ground outside. Okay. It's late, so there's nobody outside.
Did it have wings?
No.
Yeah.
But it did have a cape, that it was wearing a cape. And not a very good, just sort of a cloth that it had wrapped around itself.
Yeah. Okay,
as you look outside, you can see where it hit the ground, and it's loping off towards the distance. I mean, it's trying to run down the street and get hidden behind something.
Which direction is it going?
To the left. And it's injured. It's not doing very good.
It might be leaving a blood trail.
It's definitely leaving a blood trail.
Let's head out after it while the blood's fresh. I'm gonna start running down the stairs of the hotel.
Okay, by this time Dr. Elizabeth has opened up your door to see what the hell's
What's going on out there?
Evening, Keith. Just attacking a demon.
It's that thing. It's that boar thing, isn't it?
It's that Baphomet thing. Yes.
Speaking of which, Tom, I don't know if he told you. In the final moments before it jumped out, I was aware that I shot it, that Rupert shot it, and Dr. Dawkins shot it.
Mm-hmm.
Three bullets. By any chance, would I have noticed were there four wounds on the creature? I'm trying to determine if it's the same creature that Dr. Keith shot.
Go ahead and do a spot hidden.
Okay. If there's more than one of these things. Yes, 28 is a heart.
Because you were looking for it, yeah, you can see on the arm where it was injured previously.
Okay.
All right, so you guys are going to chase after it?
Yeah, but I've got 40 dexterity and a gammy leg, so my idea of chasing after it is probably different from everybody else's.
Well, like I said, seriously.
I have a move break of 5. I will be chasing after the people who are chasing after it.
All right.
Going like this.
So as you guys are running downstairs, other people in the hotel have woken up. And, you know, you don't stop to answer their questions, obviously. But
no, man.
Maybe Dr. Keith does. But... all right, so you guys run outside into the cold. It's snowy. Eldridge,
that's going to show up there.
Eldridge, you feel completely comfortable, obviously. And okay, you're going to start to chase after it.
Yeah,
definitely. You run after it. You can see definitely where it went between two buildings. It then ran out behind those two buildings, up and over a small fence, and headed into the forest. But
go back to the hotel.
But you can see it. I mean, it hasn't gotten that far ahead of you, and it's not moving very fast.
If I stay here too long, I'll get influenza. I'm in silk pajamas with no slippers, so I'm going to run. No, I know it's going to the forest, and I'll head back to the hotel before I get frostbite.
Okay. Do the rest of you follow in suit? Or?
Yeah.
I mean, you could probably catch it.
I'll go after it.
Well, if Rupert comes running back to me, I'm just going to assume they've lost it.
No, it's just a fact. I've only just got my pajamas on and nothing else.
I've got my curlers on. I'm assuming that gives me some small level of armor to the head.
Mm-hmm. I'll go after it.
And you scare things away. So,
I'm kind of with you, Dawkins. I'm kind of realizing this might be our chance to finish this thing.
Yeah.
All right. So Frank and Dawkins and Eldridge.
I don't know.
I'm going back with Rupert.
I'm going to chase after them, but I'm telling them to stop because maybe if it's wearing clothes, it's somewhat intelligent and we can speak with it.
So, sorry, are you chasing after them? You're chasing, yes. you're going with them. All right.
I'm going with them, trying to stop them from shooting it.
All right. It doesn't get very far. It gets maybe 100 feet into the woods, and it collapses against a tree. And as you approach it, it's breathing heavily. It's obviously dying. What do you do? Once again, the description is it's got a boar's head, a gorilla's body, a man's lower torso, and then the legs of some sort of a deer or a...
Does it look genuine? It's not a costume.
It's not a costume. Go ahead and do it. Go ahead and do a...
That's, yeah.
A biology. Go ahead and do a biology roll.
I make that.
All right.
It's not hard, but I make it.
With your knowledge of biology, there's something very, very odd, because you can recognize that that is a certain species of boar, that is definitely probably mountain gorilla, that is definitely human there, and that is definitely probably alpine goat or something like that. I mean, these are not all part of the same species. There is no species that has these traits, but each trait is from a different species. It is as if this thing has been constructed out of different things.
I then look to Frank.
Wait a minute. In the that journal, the ones with the knights, didn't they have something similar? Didn't they come across something similar to this?
They had things that said Evkar made out of skins.
Right.
That attacked.
Okay. I think that this is now something part of the skinless cult. So we should kill it.
You're changing your story?
Now that information has been passed on to me, kill it.
Okay, now if this makes any difference, you see no form of any kind of intelligence in its face or eyes. It's just an animal, sort of with maybe a rudimentary. Obviously, it was after you guys. It's been, it had enough knowledge to obey an order. But not enough to actually be a sentient being.
It's in pain, so we should definitely kill it.
All right.
Put it out of its misery. Sure.
One more quick question. Mm-hmm. In our travels here, have we come across anybody else wearing a cape?
Not really, no.
Okay.
Now that you look at it, it's not really like a cape that somebody made. It's more like a little kid would throw around himself and run around the house being Superman. Like a bed sheet.
Yeah.
Like a bed sheet or something like that, yeah. Dr. Dawkins, also do a spot hidden roll.
Sure. I make that as well.
Okay. You look, the thing has died. It's passed away. It stopped breathing. You can see you can actually find the place where the one animal begins and the next animal ends. And they are seamlessly put together. There's no stitching. There's no... It's as if the gorilla skin goes right into the boar skin and somehow they have been perfectly fused together without any scar or... problem.
I turn to Frank and to Eldridge, and one or the other. I ask them if they can run back to the lodge and see if they can get a few men to help me bring this thing back to the lodge. I want to study this a little closer.
Well, I think that it's reasonable to assume at this point that people from the lodge have started coming out to see what the hell was going on. They can see the blood on the ground, and so, you know, people have put their clothes on and come out, and suddenly you'll hear gasps from women looking at the thing and going, oh, it's a Kudavisti, you know, it's a monster. And so you've got all the help you need to sort of whatever you want to do with it. But I think that we'll leave it at that point, you guys standing over this thing. Does that sound okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Our players included Thomas McKeon, Mick Swan, Simon Ward, Jeff Wilkins, and Wayne Worthy, with myself as the Keeper of the Secrets. Please consider visiting our Patreon account. Just a few dollars a month will help us greatly. We currently are producing 4 shows a week, with music and sound effects added in post-production, in order to create a richer listener experience. We're also providing audio-only versions of our shows, free for you to download from Podbean or iTunes. Feel free to send us comments on the show. We'd love to hear from you. If you enjoyed our broadcast, please give us a thumbs up and subscribe to our channel for updates on our latest shows. You'll find everything, you'll find links to everything in the description below. This is Tom Rayleigh, inviting you to journey with us once again into the darkness for another adventure into the universe of H.P. Lovecraft and the Call of Cthulhu role-playing game. Until next time, good luck and good gaming.